Taking a deep breath, he gazed up at the moon through the oculus above. Then he began to speak. All great truths are simple. Malach had learned that long ago. The solution that Peter Solomon was now explaining was so graceful and pure that Malach was sure that it could only be true. Incredibly, the solution to the pyramid's final code was far simpler than he had ever imagined. The last word was right before my eyes. In an instant, a bright ray of light pierced the murkiness of the history and myth surrounding the last word. As promised, the last word was indeed written in an ancient language and bore mystical power in every philosophy, religion, and science ever known to man. Alchemy, astrology, Kabbalah, Christianity, Buddhism, Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, astronomy, physics, noetics. Standing now in this initiation chamber atop the great pyramid of Herodom, Malach gazed upon the treasure he had sought all these years, and he knew he could not have prepared himself more perfectly. Soon I am complete. The last word is found. In Kalorama Heights, a lone CIA agent stood amid a sea of garbage that he had dumped out of the trash bins that had been found in the garage. "Ms. K," he said, speaking to Sato's analyst on the phone. "Good thinking to search his garbage. I think I just found something." Inside the house, Catherine Solomon was feeling stronger with every passing moment. The infusion of lactated Ringer's solution had successfully raised her blood pressure and quelled her throbbing headache. She was resting now, seated in the dining room, with explicit instructions to remain still. Her nerves felt frayed, and she was increasingly anxious for news about her brother.
"Where is everybody?"
The CIA's forensics team had not yet arrived, and the agent who had stayed behind was still off searching the premises. Bellamy had been sitting with her in the dining room, still wrapped in a foil blanket, but he too had wandered off to look for any information that might help the CIA save Peter. Unable to sit idly, Catherine pulled herself to her feet, teetered, and then inched slowly toward the living room. She found Bellamy in the study. The architect was standing at an open drawer, his back to her, apparently too engrossed in its contents to hear her enter. She walked up behind him.
"Warren?"
The old man lurched and turned, quickly shutting the drawer with his hip. His face was lined with shock and grief, his cheeks streaked with tears.
"What's wrong?"
She glanced down at the drawer.
"What is it?"
Bellamy seemed unable to speak. He had the look of a man who had just seen something he deeply wished he had not.
"What's in the drawer?"
she demanded. Bellamy's tear-filled eyes held hers for a long, sorrowful moment. Finally he spoke.
"You and I wondered why. Why this man seemed to hate your family."
Catherine's brow furrowed.
"Yes?"
"Well," Bellamy's voice caught, "I just found the answer."
Chapter 119. In the chamber at the top of the house of the temple, the one who called himself Malach stood before the great altar and gently massaged the virgin skin atop his head.
"Verbum significatium," he chanted in preparation.
"Verbum omnificum."
The final ingredient had been found at last. The most precious treasures are often the simplest. Above the altar, wisps of fragrant smoke now swirled, billowing up from the censer. The suffumigations ascended through the shaft of moonlight, clearing a channel skyward through which a liberated soul could travel freely. The time had come. Malach retrieved the vial of Peter's darkened blood and uncorked it. With his captive looking on, he dipped the nib of the crow's feather into the crimson tincture and raised it to the sacred circle of flesh atop his head. He paused a moment, thinking of how long he had waited for this night. His great transformation was finally at hand. When the last word is written on the mind of man, he is then ready to receive unimaginable power. Such was the ancient promise of apotheosis. So far, mankind had been unable to realize that promise, and Malach had done what he could to keep it that way. With a steady hand, Malak touched the nib of the feather to his skin. He needed no mirror, no assistance, only his sense of touch and his mind's eye. Slowly, meticulously, he began inscribing the last word inside the circular Ouroboros on his scalp. Peter Solomon looked on with an expression of horror. When Malak finished, he closed his eyes, set down the feather, and let the air out of his lungs entirely. For the first time in his life, he felt a sensation he had never known.
I am complete. I am at one.
Malak had worked for years on the artifact that was his body. And now, as he neared his moment of final transformation, he could feel every line that had ever been inscribed on his flesh.
I am a true masterpiece, perfect and complete.
I gave you what you asked for, Peter's voice intruded. Send help to Catherine and stop that file.
Malak opened his eyes and smiled.
You and I are not quite finished.
He turned to the altar and picked up the sacrificial knife, running his finger across the sleek iron blade.
This ancient knife was commissioned by God, he said, for use in a human sacrifice. You recognized it earlier, no?
Solomon's gray eyes were like stone. It is unique, and I've heard the legend.
Legend? The account appears in Holy Scripture. You don't believe it's true?
Peter just stared. Malak had spent a fortune locating and obtaining this artifact. Known as the Akeda knife, it had been crafted over 3,000 years ago from an iron meteorite that had fallen to earth.
Iron from heaven, as the early mystics called it.
It was believed to be the exact knife used by Abraham at the Akeda, the near sacrifice of his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, as depicted in Genesis. The knife's astounding history included possession by popes, Nazi mystics, European alchemists, and private collectors.
They protected and admired it,
Malak thought, but none dared unleash its true power by using it for its real purpose. Tonight, the Akeda knife would fulfill its destiny. The Akeda had always been sacred in Masonic ritual. In the very first degree, Masons celebrated the most august gift ever offered to God, the submission of Abraham to the volitions of the Supreme Being by proffering Isaac, his firstborn. The weight of the blade felt exhilarating in Malak's hand as he crouched down and used the freshly